All right. So we'll get back into the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl in a moment. But, you know, another Texas football nugget from the last couple of days. Again, I felt like Longhorn fans were riding a high because of that win on December 31st, but it didn't take long for reality to hit. Because last night, it was reported that wide receiver Parker Livingston going to enter the transfer portal. Dartmouth is going. Bit of a surprise. Again, I mean, he played a lot in the Michigan game the other day, played a lot for Texas this season. He was fourth on the team in catches, third on the team in receiving yards, second on the team behind only Ryan Wingo in receiving touchdowns in 2025. But he is headed to the portal, Buck, and Arch Manning needs himself a new roommate.
Yeah, well, I think he feels that somebody will give him a hunk of change going into his last year because, you know, whether he's an NFL player or not, that's yet to be determined. He has an opportunity to go into a last year making more cash than he's going to get at Texas.
Last year, Buck, he was a redshirt freshman this year. He's got
Two years left. Yeah, well, he can go make some money. I think he thinks he can go make some coins somewhere else. And he's probably at a point here where it's only going to get to be so much, you know? Right?
Yeah.
I would think he's Arch Manning's roommate. People will think that's plenty. You're that guy's roommate. You're being taken care of. Somebody's taking care of you with something, but you're not going to break our bank. And he figures he can go somewhere and make some more money.
Right. Well, it's college football in 2026 now, right? Like, I thought Parker Livingston was going to be a four-year guy at Texas and felt like he was already a fan favorite. I thought he was going to become even more of a fan favorite and make some big catches and be a part of some big wins during his time on the 40 acres, and all things for Parker Livingston are going to be so good that that guy's never going to have to pay for a beer again in Austin after his college career.
He needed for more than a beer.
But that's not how college football works. It's obviously easier to transfer now than ever before. And with NIL money out there, it's easier to cash in than ever before.
He can definitely be number one down at Texas State.
Yeah, well, I think that's the bigger part of this decision for Parker Livingston is think about the Texas wide receiver room, Buck. I mean, by all accounts, you've got Ryan Wingo coming back.
Yeah.
He's better and higher on the depth chart than Parker Livingston. Emmett Mosley is coming back.
Yeah.
He's better and higher on the depth chart than Parker Livingston. We've spent ample time the last couple of weeks talking about Texas looking for a high-impact transfer receiver in the portal.
Sure.
After DeAndre Moore decided to depart. So assuming Texas is able to get that guy, which I feel very strongly that they will, that's three guys right there who are better than Parker Livingston, who are going to be ahead of him on the depth chart in 2026.
And we know how they love their three guys.
Right. More often than not, Steve Sarkisian's offense has at most three wide receivers on the field at the same time. And you could argue Parker Livingston was the fourth on the depth chart this year. And again, he still put up pretty good numbers. He was a pretty important part of the passing game. But he's thinking at best, he might be the number four wide receiver next year. And if he goes the G5 route, he might be able to be a number one, but he can go to another Power 4 school and be a top two or three guy.
Or he better watch the school he picks because they better have a quarterback that can get the ball to him. This way, if he were to come back, I think he would be a part, BK, of whatever the top three is. He'd be in that group. He'd be in that grouping that the head coach would trust. He could make plays, you know, and as you said, but if it's about making money, somebody would come out of their pockets for this kid to stick around. They got to have some money available. You can't let a guy like this just walk. And they look like they're feeling pretty good about him walking. But who knows? Things could change.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd be very surprised if Parker Livingston is coming back. I mean, we don't see it. I don't know if we've ever seen it in the Steve Sarkisian where a guy enters the portal and, you know, decides to return to Texas. It's usually like, you tell us you're leaving, then all right, you're leaving. Thank you.
Well, generally when those guys talk about leaving, they already have one or two schools that have offered more than what you have to offer to them.
Yeah.
They need to have a quarterback that can help you out, or you're just going there to get pummeled. Who the hell wants to do that?
Well, again, I mean, I think Parker Livingston wants to play. Money's probably a part of this too, but I think he wants to play. And again, I just gave you three receivers who are better than him.
I think he would see the field enough to have people think that he's a big part of the passing game. I think he was this year. I don't think that would change Well, I mean, I don't think it was. I mean, he's still a young wide receiver. I think he would get better, and I think he'd be more involved in this passing offense. And we'll see what they get in the portal. We'll see what they get in the portal, I guess. But somebody's offered him something.
Of course. Yeah, I think he's had back-channel conversations, or his agent has had back-channel conversations with some other teams, so he's not going into the portal completely blind. But you know, I think he did enough at Texas this year to where he's going to get opportunities, plural, elsewhere around college football. So we'll see where
he's not going to call from the Texters that got a lot of money. And then he scored points.
Right.
Yeah. He's had a few touchdowns.
About one touchdown, Texas Tech.
Oh.
How about a field goal? How about something? Can you do something? Hey, Baron Morton, don't throw it to the other team in the end zone.
Oh,
throw it to your
goodness.
Team in the end zone, dude. You know that's what you're supposed to do, right? I don't know. I don't know if Parker Livingston is like going to end up at a super great school. But again, I think he'll get Power 4 opportunities. And you wish him the best of luck. I'm with you. I mean, I do think he would have been a contributing piece in the Texas pass game next year. But again, the three guys I talked about, I liked what I saw from Kalik Lockett the other day. Obviously, you'll have Dalen McCutchen and Jamie French going into their second years. You brought in another five-star athlete who's likely to play wide receiver with Jermaine Bishop. It's just a loaded wide receiver room that Texas has right now. And
yeah, but Dartmouth ain't afraid of that.
Well, it's clearly he is. If he wasn't afraid of that, he would stick around.
I can't believe his roommate hadn't talked him into staying. You know, and they could play. There's a lot of catchy catch to be played.
You know, someone out there, some dumbass out there, is putting together an article right now. Maybe it was already released since this news dropped last night. Putting an article that says, "What's wrong with Arch Manning? He must be a bad roommate. He must be a bad leader. He must be a bad person. I mean, his roommate is transferring." Thought that guy was supposed to be his best friend on the team, and he is leaving?
Yeah,
trouble,
what is that?
Trouble with QB1? Some idiot out there is writing that right now. You know it. But, yeah, I mean, I wonder, you know, how does this impact Texas's plans in the portal? We knew they were going after one wide receiver. Are they now going after two wide receivers? Because two of their top four have left from this year.
Yeah, I think they feel good enough about they're young guys now. It took them to the end of the season and a month of practice to figure out they're not bad. Those five stars aren't bad. We actually can coach them up. Once we get them to be able to catch, and the McCutchen kid who played as a, you know, in the first game, who's now, I can't call him, I don't want to call him Hammer Hands, because I just think he looked nervous.
You keep saying receivers, like there's only one of those young guys who played well against Michigan, and that was Kalik Lockett. Like, he had two catches for 35 yards and a touchdown.
During the spring, they're going to let them loose and get them ready to play ball. It's not going to be one of those, oh no, we've made a mistake with these five stars. They're going to get them in position that they'll be ready to play next year. That's why if they don't go get a great one, that's why I'm thinking if you keep Livingstone here, I think that'd be okay. But you got to find a way. I said maybe he will change his mind. Who knows?
Well, I think they're getting a great one, first and foremost. But I'll ask the question to you. I mean, we've spent some time this morning talking about the importance of winning in 2026, right?
Yeah.
Maximizing this window with Arch Manning. Are you okay just saying, I hope these receivers take a jump in year two?
If Parker were staying, I would be okay.
Parker's not staying. Remove Parker from the equation.
Remove him.
Right, I'm talking about Lockett.
No.
McCutchen and French.
No. You got to go find a great one if you can, but you have to go find a consistent one too. I mean, it's a guy who can actually catch the ball.
My question is, do you find two? They're finding one. There's no doubt they're finding one.
I don't know if you go find two. I need to go get that running back.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting both.
I'm not getting two receivers and a running back because I still need to get 25 offensive linemen.
Right. Well, they could get two receivers and two running backs if they wanted to. I don't think that's out of the question. Now, you know, did Christian Clark do enough against Michigan to show that he can be your RB2 next year? Maybe. But I don't think it's out of the question that Texas brings in multiple receivers and multiple running backs.
Well, you need multiple running backs because I think somebody else in that room is getting out of here too.
Don't forget, the scholarship number is increasing from 85 to 105. Right. You've already lost four running backs. If one more leaves, that'd be five. So you only signed two freshmen. You just need bodies there.
Yeah, I got to. Yeah, they need to find two running backs. They need to find one that's a starter and one that's either your backup or behind the backup if somebody gets hurt, because they get hurt here.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one thing Christian Clark did in the game that I like. He will protect the quarterback. He will stick it when a blitzer comes. He's got a big body, and he's got pretty good technique. I mean, I saw him get run over once, but I saw him stick his face in there a couple times when they brought a linebacker, and he does the right thing. He doesn't stand back and catch the blows that's about 3 feet from the quarterback. He meets you before the pocket. He will run into the line, and if that's his linebacker coming, he will step up in there where he can take the linebacker and throw him across people's legs and arms and everything else. You know, a lot of young running backs, the guys will wait in the backfield, BK, where they're like 2 yards from the quarterback, and then the linebacker will run them over right into the quarterback.
Yeah.
He does step up. He goes. He knows when they're coming because he's got a big enough body that he doesn't have – the guys don't have these clean runs when they run guys over. I saw the guy in the Miami game. I saw the young running back, Bo Jackson from Ohio State. When the Miami linebacker came, he waited. He took one step up and was going to catch the guy like 3 feet from the quarterback. And this Miami linebacker drove his knee into his chest and ran smooth over him. Oh, my God. Oh, he got right to the quarterback in one step. When he hit him, he went backwards, flat on his back, and the guy was right in the legs of Sane, right in his lap. I'm like, no, dude, you better – if that's your guy, you better go run and meet him halfway. You can't catch. And those guys from Miami were mean.
Physical, man.
Wow.
Physical. Hey, you went in the trenches, you're going to win the football game.
Holy shit.
Miami did that against Ohio State. Texas did that against Michigan. I mean, Indiana did that against Alabama. Oregon did that against Texas Tech. Like, that's usually how it goes. The team that wins on the line of scrimmage finds a way to win the game.
Still surprised that Alabama lost their physical edge like that. Man.
Yeah, and they are ready for Kalen DeBoer to leave already.
Oh, they must be after him again. That was so embarrassing.
You knew it would happen. Like, they beat Oklahoma. They won a playoff game. You would think that'd be enough to cool his seat. But then you follow it up with the worst postseason loss in school history.
And you throw that other quarterback in there, and that's your future. It's like, wow.
Yeah, not great. Not great there.
You can go, you know, their wide receiver, the young guy who's just a sophomore, you can go try to get him.
Yeah, here's the problem with him. I don't – do you want Ryan Williams? Because then you have two Ryan W's who drop passes all the time.
Yeah, I'll take a chance that he'll get better catching the ball. I just know when he's – when I mean, that guy was unbelievable as a freshman. That slump he had just this year, I don't know if that's – does that carry through, or is he just that talented enough to overcome that? Because when he catches it, he's special. Right? Maybe in this type of offense, he'd be special. Because am I trusting Ryan Wingo to be that – the hands guy? I saw him go over to catch a touchdown with his hands. I trust that he'll get better. Chris Jackson is sticking around, but
I don't.
Yeah, I like Ryan Williams. Yeah, I'll take that chance.
Well, I don't think Ryan Williams is leaving. First and foremost, I think
he makes too much money there.
Yeah, I think he said a couple of days ago that he's sticking around. Now, look, that could change. We see athletes all the time say they're not leaving, and then they end up.
He did
up
see
leaving.
That quarterback play that he's got coming back at him for another year.
Right. Yeah, I just, you know, Ryan Wingo was second in the SEC in drops this year, behind only Ryan Williams at Alabama. So he's a supreme talent, obviously. 5-star recruit, burst on the scenes as a freshman. But he had some drop problems last year, too. It's just he did so many other good things that people didn't talk about him very much.
It's like Ryan Wingo. They make such big plays.
Yeah, but this year, I don't know. If you're going to go spend big money on a wide receiver, which I want Texas to do, I'd rather bring in a guy who can catch the ball consistently.
Yeah, that does help when you're a wide receiver.
And that's the thing, like with Ryan Wingo, as we, you know, continue the wide receiver conversation.
Yes.
Like, I want Ryan Wingo back. Don't get me wrong. But in a national championship or bust kind of year, which is what 2026 will feel like for a lot of Texas fans.
You need a lot of catches. You need them to catch the ball.
Can you trust that guy to be your number one receiver? You can have him on your team. Don't get me wrong. I'm second team all SEC. Led Texas in every receiving category this year. He is a very good player. But can that guy be your most reliable weapon on offense if he can't catch?
Even after this game, I would say if you can find one that can be more consistent catching, you go look for him. Yes.
Yeah.
He's reliable. He's reliable enough because of the explosive plays and the big play things that he does. But to win a national championship, he's going to have too many drops.
Right. So that's it. So if you're Texas, I would have said this before Livingston entered the portal. Now I think there's even more of a need for you to go bring in a high-impact wide receiver. Maybe two. You're not going to get two of, like, the top three wideouts who are in the portal. I don't think that's realistic. But I think you need to get one big-time fish. Cam Coleman's obviously the guy that every Longhorn fan has their eye on. But you got to get one of those guys at the top of the heap and then potentially, you know, a middle wide receiver out of the portal who, you know, you wouldn't bring in here just to be a bench guy. You'd bring in here to actually contribute.
I mean, and if you're a receiver and what you saw of Arch Manning, you know, you can just sit down and watch some film later half of the season and say, yeah, man, I like to catch balls from that dude.
Yeah. And you're also looking at the wide receivers drop everything and you're like, well, shit, I don't do that. I actually catch the ball. So I'm going to get the play there. So, yeah, right. I mean, I think, look, money talks for a lot of recruits. Money is the number one thing that matters, and they'll just go play for the highest bidder. But if these guys, if some of them are thinking about their futures, being a receiver at Texas with Arch Manning as your quarterback puts you in prime position to set yourself up for long-term success.
Yes, it does. There's no doubt. You're right about that.
I hope that matters for Cam Coleman or, you know, insert portal receiver here. But think about all the money that's opened up. I mean, this is a difference from what we've seen in the past few off seasons, right? Texas has lost quantity in recent years, but they haven't lost the quality of player that they've lost. You know, Livingston off the books, DeAndre Moore off the books, Wisner, Baxter, LaFau. These guys, they cost money last year. They would have cost money next year or this year. And now you've got some more money to spend on some big-time players so you can get in these bidding wars if you need
to. That'd be interesting to see where Trey Wisner ends up.
Yeah. Maybe we find out today. And again, it's official. The portal is officially open. We've been talking about guys entering for a month now, but today's the day they actually officially enter the portal, and this is the first day where they can actually pick their next school. The portal's open for the next 15 days. After, guys don't have to commit and sign in the next 15 days. They can do that after January 15th, but you've got these next 15 days to enter the portal. Already more than 1,000 players in it, and there will be more. Last year, there were more than 3,000 players who hit the portal, Buck. There were two windows last year, so we'll see the changes this year, but more are coming is the point I am trying to make.
Yeah, you need to secure some things, your special teams. You need to get your punter and kicker and some other things too that you have to have, because that dude that was kicking off the other day, that walk-on status or whatever the hell that was, he was kicking off, you know, man.
Yeah, and you had good kick. Like Mason Chipley hit a 51-yarder in that game and a 43-yarder, right? 2 for 2, nice end to his short Texas career, but he's gone. So you need a new place kicker. You need a new punter because the Aussie, Jack Bomeister, is out of eligibility. So you got to go find those guys and a kickoff specialist too. Now that you've got those extra scholarships, you can, you know, you don't need to find a kicker who can be a kickoff specialist. You can find one place kicker and one kickoff specialist if you need.
Yeah, because the leftist wanted to be, he not only wanted to be a kickoff specialist, he wanted to go ahead and kick field goals. And did he end up doing that anywhere?
Will Stone? No. I mean,
he's got to wait till the season was over and do it this year, right?
Yeah. I mean, he left midway through this season, so he couldn't play anywhere else. He left when he did to preserve his red shirt. So he's got an extra year of eligibility.
Because no matter where he goes, he'll be, if anything, he'll still be a kickoff specialist. They will have had to pay him for wherever he went.
Right. Yeah. I think he wants to kick. Like, not just be a kickoff specialist. I think he wants to be a place kicker. He was one of the higher rated kicker recruits out of high school a few years ago. But, you know, I guess wasn't better than Bert Auburn and wasn't better than Mason Shipley.
So damn.
He didn't get his chance at Texas. But, yeah, I think the Longhorns will be going after a bunch of specialists in the portal as well. Obviously, linebackers and offensive linemen and running backs and wide receivers and defensive backs and the defensive tech. We're going to see a lot of activity for Texas. And I think some news will start to drop throughout this weekend.
Yeah, this is definitely an all-in. And once again, you know, as we talk about these specialists, they have to have offensive linemen. You know, I thought the defensive line in that game against Michigan, boy, they were stout at the point of attack again. Because I thought Michigan would have, you know, a little bit of its way against the defensive line without the linebackers. But they still play really – they piled them up inside again. They had a couple runs, but they didn't gash them like I thought could happen because, you know, guys have been away from the game and they didn't want to tackle. I thought they would play physical. You know, they get after him a little bit. Still got to get those linebackers, BK, inside.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could argue it was Texas's worst rushing defensive performance of the year. And
yeah.
You're down seven starters. You're down your top three linebackers. You're down your best edge run defender.
I don't know if their best running back played.
No, and Justice Haynes and Jordan Marshall did not play.
Marshall, I thought he was supposed to play in that game, and he didn't play.
I did too. I think most people did think he was going to play, and he did not. So, yeah, Michigan was down a couple of its running backs on offense. And, yeah, they had some success on the ground. Look, Texas had a top 10 run defense in America this year. They gave up less than 100 yards per game on the ground during the regular season. They got hit a little bit for $174 in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl.
They also had a running quarterback that was a part of their run game.
Russ Underwood made some things happen with his legs. So, yeah, look, I was impressed. I mean, Ty Anthony Smith, I thought, had a hell of a game. He was the best defensive player for Texas. Two interceptions, including that great toe tapper along the right sideline, led the Longhorns with 9 tackles. I mean, we got to see a lot of Ty Anthony Smith during the season, but this was the first time he was the guy at linebacker. And not only was he the guy there, he was the guy on the Longhorn defense. So you feel great about number 26 being a leader and one of the better players on Will Muschamp's defense in 2026. Bo Barnes, I thought, did some good things in his first real college action. But, yeah, linebacker is very close to the top of the wish list
for
Texas in the transfer portal. They just need bodies with all that they are losing back there.
For sure.
But, yeah, to Anthony Smith, a great day for him. And then Bo Barnes had a sack in that football game, too. So, cool moment. His first career sack. Hopefully first of many as a Texas Longhorn.
Some of the news that Chris Jackson is coming back.
Yes, Chris Jackson will be back. It was reported that he agreed to a 2-year contract to remain the wide receivers coach at the University of Texas.
Will he work on some fundamentals for his guys, like catching the ball as wide receivers?
Yeah, look, and just looking on Twitter, and I know that's not always the best place to look, but a lot of Texas fans were not real happy with this announcement that Chris Jackson is returning. And I thought Jackson did a tremendous job in 2023 and 2024. I thought the receiver play at Texas those 2 years was some of the best in the country. And, you know, Jackson was the lead recruiter on the receivers who signed with Texas in their number one class of 2025. So he did a lot of good things. But this year, I mean, the receiver play just wasn't very good at Texas this year, I thought. And, I mean, the drop issues were prevalent all season long and into the postseason. Ryan Wingo didn't take the step we wanted him to take. DeAndre Moore didn't take the step that we wanted him to take. None of those freshman guys really saw the field this year. So, you know, if you're a what have you done for me lately kind of guy, I guess I understand not being super thrilled with Chris Jackson being retained, because it was not a very good year for the Texas wide receivers, Buck.
Yeah, I think this will be this portal deal will be important on who he can influence to come here, too. That'll be important, too.
Yeah, that'll help. That will definitely help. And it's, you know, I think more of the portal is about money. I'm more focused on, like, can Wingo catch the ball next year?
Yeah, for sure.
Do those year two guys take steps? Are they ready for a 9-game SEC schedule that also features a non-conference game against Ohio State? Like, that's what I'm more focused on for Chris Jackson.
He doesn't pay out the salaries.
All right. How does exactly. How do these guys get developed? Because again, 2023, the job he did, you know, Xavier Worthy in his final year and Adonai Mitchell coming in from Georgia, like those guys were tremendous under Chris Jackson. 2024, Matthew Golden was supposed to be a first round pick when he got to Texas. Chris Jackson deserves a lot of credit for his development last year.
That's why he's getting sort of a pass with me, but I can't give the pass on the fundamentals of, you know, you're not being able to teach the guys how to catch. Well, they should be able to catch any damn way. If you're giving them scholarships of, I forget the money, but if they're getting like scholarships to go to your place, they got to be able to catch, dude. It just can't, and it can't be, you know, catch one, drop three. That's not the percentage that you're looking for from your wide receivers at this level.
I mean, think about how good Arch Manning's numbers were the other day. How good could they have been if his receivers just helped him out a little bit more?
You know, I must have missed a couple of them, but were there just – was there two or three drops? Were there more than two or three drops?
Yes. Are we getting,
yes?
Yes.
Some of them dropped, some of them bad passes, just but passes that guys should be able to handle at this level.
Just off the top of my head, Livingston had a drop, McCutcheon had two, Wingo had two. That's just what's coming to my mind right now. And there's
some that are not always on target that you still expect your guys
to I don't play. I mean the Wingo touchdown drop, like you couldn't put it in a better spot. It was right there. He took a hit, but come on, like that's you make that catch, Wingo.
Yeah, I understand that. But some of the ones that may go low that you say most receivers still you need to catch that because you can catch the ball that are a little bit off target. That, as you said, Golden, those guys would make those catches. Adonai Mitchell made catches one-handed behind his back. I mean, if it was just off target, they could reach back and grab it, you know. But some of these just dead smack in your hands are ridiculous.
I come from the school of thought that
if you touch it, you can catch it.
If the ball hits both of your hands, I'm being easy, right? If you can touch it, nah. If it touches off, you know, one fingertip on one hand.
I understand that.
Okay, that's a tough catch. You probably shouldn't call that a drop. The ball hits both of your hands.
Yes, that's a drop.
That's got to be a catch.
Whether it's low or whatever. Whether you go down to the ground and it's low and it hits both of your hands and it bounces off your shoulder pad, that's on you.
Of course. And, you know, question is Jackson responsible for the development or did the players just not put in the hard work? It goes on both, of course.
Yeah, players have both. Goes both ways.
Put in the work to get better. There's no doubt about that. And Ryan Wingo, you know, I think when Ryan Wingo signed with Texas, I think the expectation was for him to be a 3-year player, right?
Correct.
And he will be going into year three in 2026. So it's sort of a contract year for him. He's going to get paid at Texas, but he's looking for NFL money too. NFL, they want guys who can catch. If Ryan Wingo wants to be a first round pick, which if he has a strong fall, I think that's not out of the question. He's got to clean up.
Because of what you saw in the playoffs and football over the weekend, you saw about five guys you'd rather have before him.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Emmett Mosley, we've had a couple of comments this morning. CB, a lot of people think Emmett Mosley's the best wide receiver on this team. And we didn't get a full picture of Mosley because he missed the first month of the year and, you know, came to Texas after last spring. So he was a little bit behind the eight ball. But yeah,
he'll be doing catchy.
Yeah. And hopefully he's healthy, right? He left that game early. Didn't get an update from Sark in the post-game presser, but obviously long way to go before Texas plays another game, so he'll be fine. But yeah, I mean, Mosley's very good. I think a lot of Longhorn fans have more confidence that Emmett Mosley is the go-to guy for Arch Manning instead of Ryan Wingo.
Well, I kind of see it that way coming into the year, for sure.
I like my receivers who can catch, man.
Yeah, I kind of like it that way, too.
Pass catching. That is part of the job description.
That's sort of like, I like my running backs who can run, you know?
Yeah, I do too. All right, we'll take your thoughts, your big takeaways from Texas's win over Michigan and your expectations, predictions, and requests for the Longhorns in the transfer portal. Before we get back to some Texas talk, we also have to talk more about the playoff. And boy, the Buck needs a bounce back. Week 18 of the NFL coming up. And the Buck is down a lot of units because he whiffed on some college football playoffs.
I whiffed on some biggies, but you know, I made it. You know, you did have me for the not the Texas Tech change, right?
Yeah, you're welcome for that. I convinced you to pick Oregon over Texas Tech, but you only had 25,000 units on the Ducks. That didn't help you much. So we'll get to your Gold Star locks and see what you have for the people for the upcoming NFL weekend. But before anything else, I've got a few more sponsor shout outs.
Folks, if you're seeking that specialized patient-focused orthopedic care, contact the experts and our friends at Texas Orthopedics. Their physicians offer comprehensive surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care for children and adults. So if you've been out there, dad, running around, trying to play football, you know, over the weekend, messing around with the kids, and you've ripped up your knee or something, please contact our friends over there. They take your spinal care, sports medicine, trauma care, joint replacement, rheumatology, and more. Dr. Christopher Danny, Dr. Chris Stockton are dedicated orthopedic surgeons, and their goal is to get you right back into good health and the great quality of life that you deserve. Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in the state of Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. And speaking of easy New Year's resolutions, you make the call to Tom McKay at Audiovisual Consultations. Oh, yeah. I mean, do you want to enjoy life or not? Do you want to like watching the sports, the TV shows, the movies? Do you want your home to be the place
the
to
Westerns?
Be? The Westerns?
Giddy up.
Yeah, you probably spent a lot of time and money driving around Central Texas last year to sports bars, to friends' houses, God forbid, to your in-laws' place.
Man.
You did that because they had a better TV setup than you. Come on. Don't let that happen in 2026. Make the call to Audiovisual Consultations. They can hook you up the way they've hooked up thousands of Central Texans since 1988. If you want the four-screen man cave like I have, they can do it for you. If you want the 85-incher like the Buck has, they can do it for you. If you want the home theater room, giant projection screen, the surround sound speakers, they can do it for you. How about the patio setup? You see what I'm doing here? TVs, speakers, they do a whole home lighting. They do surveillance cameras. You can do heated floors for your bathroom. Anything to elevate your home in 2026. AV Consultations has your back. All you have to do is give them a call, and Tom and his crew will bring everything to you. 512-255-8678. That's 255-8678. You can find out more online at avconsultations.com.
Our friends over at the Lee Kitchen and Tavern, four great locations, Lakeway, Belterra, Bee Caves, Avery Ranch. I had some of Lonnie's eggnog without the additives into it. You know,
no alcohol in Lonnie's eggnog this time.
Yeah, I had some of that Lonnie's eggnog, and it was delicious, as a matter of fact. And I had the burger of the month, and that was, of course, that steakhouse burger, chef specialist, shrimp cocktail, chef house wedge, and, of course, the classic. I did not have the classic sundae. Still kind of stayed away from the ice cream, except for over at Hat Creek Burger. But at our good friends at the Lee Kitchen and Tavern, I love the food that they have there. Still loving the Cobb salad and the all-day breakfast. I'll be going to Daymaker's Half Day Cafe this morning, but sometime before the weekend's done, I will be at the Lee Kitchen and Tavern. Lakeway, Belterra, Bee Cave, and Avery Ranch for the Lee Kitchen and Tavern.
Love the league. Also, shout out to our friends at Waterloo Printing and Graphics. All of our TSU hats, our TSU koozies, our signs, our stickers, everything that we have to rep our brand was made by Adam and his great team at Waterloo Printing and Graphics. So if you have a business or a brand that needs marketing and merch in 2026, reach out to Adam, 512-300-9641. He will get you what you need very quickly. Based right here in South Austin, he's got your back. All you have to do is reach out, or you can find them on Instagram at Waterloo Printing.
You know, our friends over at Syntex Tickets want you to be there with them in 2026. There's all kinds of great things happening. Lots of concerts showing up there. Concerts out at Coda. They've got that. You know, you get a you go to Syntex Tickets to get 10% off. That is a big deal, especially when you're taking more than one, you know, to a concert, BK, or to a comedy show. They do a fantastic job. We love Shelby and the gang over there. And Horseshoe Bay Resorts, go to horseshoebayresorts.com, hsbresorts.com. If you want to get that staycation out there, our good buddy Mike, you know, Mike couldn't do it. Mike couldn't make it. Mike McCall got, family got sick. He wanted to do his birthday out there. I feel so horrible for him. Oh. He wanted to spend a few days. Mama and the kid got sick. He missed out.
On his birthday?
Yes.
Come on, mom and kid, do better.
Can't get rid of the kid and mama. One of the two can go, but you can't get rid of both of them. So he wants to make a replay out there at Horseshoe Bay Resorts. I felt so bad for him. He is fantastic, Mike. He came over, fixed my I had to get the little extra hitch on my little tractor, so I'm not running around with the wheelbarrow. He came by last week, got that done. He couldn't wait to get out to Horseshoe Bay. and everybody got sick on him.
Oh, that's brutal.
Oh, it's terrible.
Sorry about that, Mike. Man.
He deserves some good things for the new year early.
Yeah, he does. He deserves your business early.
That's for sure.
You call CustomHomesATX.com. Add on to your home, or if you want to build a home from scratch, they can do it for you.
Or somebody, right. If your home got burned down for the fireworks on the New Year's, if somebody threw some sparklers inside your house and burned the house down, you got to get that extra room fixed up. Call on Mike to do that. Well, it didn't happen to me. No, it didn't happen. I'm just saying, you know, somebody had that happen to them.
I think someone's house in Central Texas got burned down.
Oh, somebody's shed or barn or whatever it is. Get Mike. He'll get it all fixed up for you.
Hopefully no Jason Pierre-Paul incident.
Oh, no.
For anybody.
No. You
know, last night, I forgot what day it was. So I got back around 8 o'clock last night and I was doing some work. I was up pretty late. I was up till like midnight last night. And around 11:15, I hear just pops. Pop, 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 pop. And then like right after that, I hear pop, pop, pop. And I'm like, holy shit. Gunshots.
Oh, no.
It was like the back and forth of gunshots. I'm like, oh, my God. So I literally like I got down on the ground. I'm like, making sure nothing's going to be flying through my window. And then like after probably 30 seconds of being on the ground, I'm like, hey, idiot, it's January 1st. These are fireworks that people had left over from New Year's Eve.
They were doing it out here at Christmas time where I am. Nobody cares. Yeah. Anytime they can have noisemakers, they will.
At least I hope. I hope they're fireworks. That's what I'm telling myself. You know,
telling yourself.
I never got confirmation. I was like waiting to see if I were going to see any police lights or anything. Like, did anyone actually just get shot in my apartment complex last night? But no, I think it was just some Jan 1 celebrating.
Absolutely, man.
People out there.
Happy New Year.
You didn't blow up any phone booths with fireworks this year?
No, I'm not a fireworks. You know, I got off the firework train once I blew up the phone booth with a little half stick of dynamite. That was it. I never got into them from that point on. With my children as they were kids, I was like bah humbug. I mean, I'd go a sparkler. That would be it. They'd be like, "That's it? Yeah, that's all you're doing." They were really disappointed in me as a father. You know, 4th of July, New Year's, that I didn't go crazy about that. Like I didn't get excited like they got it. Bottle rockets, crap like that. I was like, no, those things don't excite me. I've blown up phone booths. I've been a terrorist. You know.
I've been a terrorist.
Yeah, so those things don't do it. M80s, those kind of things just don't do it for me. I don't get into them. I don't get that excited about them. And those that are around me to get excited, I don't even get excited for them, you know?
We got to get that on a shirt, like a picture of your face with a quote underneath that says, I've been a terrorist.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories of yours when you blew up a literal phone booth back in the day with a stick of dynamite.
That metal plate that's still there without any structure to it, no glass. Yeah. It's just a metal plate that's on a piece of cement back at the Rose Garden. I was the dude that was at the fireworks display, and the big boom at the end, one of those fell right next to me and had the little wick sticking out of it, but it was shaped like a piece of dynamite. I mean, it was, you know, it was sort of like this. Square like this. I took it home with me, stuck it, me and my character stuck it in the phone book and took off. And before we got a half a block, the thing went boom and we hit the ground. I mean, it knocked us to the ground.
Yeah.
And dude, let me tell you something. That was a public phone booth. And if anybody would have got out of their car to come and use that phone back in the day, I still would be in jail. Game over. I'd have been in juvie court and I would have been in jail for a long, long time. That was one of those dumb things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know. That's pretty fun. That's a fun thing right there.
I mean, glass. I came back the next day and all that was there was a metal bottom part of it. No plastic, no foam booth, some glass shattered all over the place. Metal was destroyed. That was dumb. That's on my list of the top three dumbest things I've ever done in my life that actually could have got somebody killed.
I think, we all love explosions. I think every human being should be able to blow one thing up besides a toilet at some point.
Oh, yeah, I'm so, but I was with such a goofy group at that time. We did dumb things. And, you know, there was a woman that had a bell in her backyard, and we would travel the streets with my little gang, and we'd get over it, get into her backyard, ring that bell, and take off and start running. Well, I thought there was a bunch of hedges, but there was a fence inside the hedge part of it. And these guys were running, and all of a sudden you could just hear guys hitting the fence. They thought it was hedges. They thought they were going to run through the hedges, but inside the hedge was a fence, and you could hear four or five guys hit that fence. I was one. And it was like you got rejected. And, dude, we were laid out in the guy's backyard as he came outside ringing his bell. I mean, I did some dumb things. I did kid stuff.
Yeah. You know,
the dumbest would have been to take that half stick of dynamite and light it when I was still at the fireworks and lay it beside me and take off and blow up like five people.
Yeah.
That would have been even more dumb.
Point it right to your rectum. That would have been pretty dumb.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Your guy Mike would fall.
I didn't know what a stick of dynamite, you know. Yeah. We didn't deal with dynamite at the time. Sure. I just thought the thing would blow up and make a big boom sound. It blew all the structure away from and it was glass at the time.
God, I wish there was a video of that somewhere out there. That'd be amazing. But you were lucky. You were living in a time where not everything we did was filmed.
Be nice. I would have been a terrorist. At this time, you do that, you're going to jail for a long, long time for that.
Our guy Mike McCall texts in on the Coda text line saying he did that with Tannerite and a lawnmower. He blew a lawnmower up and it shot 60 feet up in the air, he said.
Oh, my God.
Terrible idea, but fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of fun.
And I never got caught for that one. Nick can't come and get me now in Pennsylvania, right? I mean.
Yeah. You're free. Statute of limitations or whatever it is, that's passed. You're good.
I'm going to talk to our lawyer about that.
Yeah, talk to Hurricane Heck.
Hurricane Heck needs to tell me. They can't come back and get me now, right?
You're in the clear.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're in the clear right there. All right.
In the neighborhood with one arm, I'm still good.
What did you do to that kid with one arm?
I mean, he may have went near the phone booth. He may have had his arm dismantled.
If he sues you all these years later and he's got evidence that it was you, maybe you're not so good.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I got a hunch enough time has passed where that shouldn't be keeping you up at night.
Okay, thank you.
What should be keeping you up at night is how much money you've cost our audience.
Oh.
As of late. So, obviously we did the pregame show on Wednesday, but your last morning show was on Monday.
Yes.
And you gave the people some Gold Star locks.
I did.
You had 50,000 units on the LA Rams on Monday Night Football. It feels like forever ago, that Rams-Falcons game. It was last year. You had the Rams -7. They lost. So that's 50,000 units down the drain. And then you were 2-2 on your playoff picks. Problem is, the two you got right, Oregon and Indiana, you only had 25,000 units on each of those games.
That was bad. That was the bad. Indiana one was the bad one.
The two you had wrong, Ohio State -9.5 against Miami, you had 100,000 units on that one. And you had 150,000 units on Georgia -6.5 against Ole Miss. Obviously, both of those teams lost outright.
Nobody can beat the Georgia Bulldogs. Nobody. What happened there?
I know. That was an amazing game. One of the best games of the college football season. And, yeah, Georgia goes down. So you were 2-3, which isn't that bad, but you lost 250,000 units. Buck, we're running out of time on the
year. Did I have something in the bank? I had nothing in the bank.
You were down 50K, so now you're down 300K. And, well, you got 1 week left of the NFL regular season. Obviously, you'll get the playoffs with the pros, but just three college football playoff games left. Now, you got some other bowl games.
Yes.
Including four today. If you want some action on that.
Wait a minute. Didn't I take the horns?
Did you take the horns?
Yes, I got a little something on the horns.
When did you do that? Oh, during the pregame show.
Pregame, yeah.
What did
you didn't get? We didn't get that to the people, though, did we? Didn't get that out?
I don't know. It wasn't during a regular morning show.
No, we did that at pregame, and I said the horns, yes.
No, you had Texas winning 24-20, and the line was 4.5. If you did bet on anything, you would have lost it.
Come on, man. Give me the push. Where did you get that half from?
You're trying to lie. You're trying to con me and the people, sir.
No. They all depend on what cousin you had. You're right. Man. It was. I got a 4 line. Yeah. So I didn't win anything anyway.
Well, you owe the people some money. Either way, you've got, I think, 5 more bowl games besides the playoff. 4 of them are today. And then you've got, again, week 18 of the NFL season. So
all right, give me the bowl games. I'll get it back here by next week.
All right, 12 o'clock Central Time today. What a matchup. An all-time rivalry here in our own state. The Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Only fitting that this game is happening in Fort Worth. The Rice Owls. The Texas State Bobcats.
Oh.
5-7 Rice, 6-6 Texas State. The Bobcatters, 17.5-point favorites.
Bobcats. I'll take Rice for 50,000 units.
Taking the dogs?
Yes.
Have you seen Rice play?
Hey, they're in a bowl game.
Yeah, well, they're 5-7. No one wanted to play in a bowl game, so they got the invite instead.
You're a 17-point dog.
And a hook.
And the hook to Texas State.
All right.
This isn't the same. This isn't your father's Texas State team that's about to play that we'll see next year. That's right.
Game one, 2026 season. The next time we will see the Longhorns play a football game, it will be against Southwest Texas State University. Yeah,
and Texas will be a 35-point favorite in that game.
Probably more, if we're being honest.
You think you can do that?
Maybe. 3:30. The AutoZone Liberty Bowl, your favorite.
Oh, worst bowl trip in America.
We've got the Cincinnati Bearcats and the Midshipmen of the Naval Academy.
Ooh.
The Naval Academy, a 7.5-point favorite.
Oh, I do like the military, but
don't forget Cincinnati's quarterback Sorsby not playing. He's in the portal.
I will go ahead and take Navy.
Yeah, good call.
Don't for another 50,000 unit play.
Okay, Navy minus 5.5 for 50K. Up next, 7 o'clock, two games tonight. You've got the Trust and Will Holiday Bowl. Who's Will? Who are we trusting?
Hey, that's in San Diego. That's one of Texas's favorite bowl trips.
Yep, we've got 17th-ranked Arizona taking on SMU, Chip Brown's Ponies. Playing in that one. Arizona, a 1.5-point favorite. Basically a pick 'em there.
I'll take the Ponies.
How many units?
50,000-unit play.
All right. And last but not least, also tonight, riveting stuff here, the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Oh, the big one.
The winner of this game will have its coach doused in a bucket of mayo. Wake Forest at 8-4 against 5-7 Mississippi State out of the SEC.
Ooh.
The Bulldogs are actually 3-point favorites, Buck.
Yes, and I'll take the Bulldogs because it just means more for 100,000 units.
The SEC has not had a very good bowl season.
No.
Texas thankfully doing its part. I think the SEC.
That's because Texas owns Michigan.
It's like 3-6 in bowl games this year. Yeah. Obviously, the Longhorns took care of Michigan. But yeah, it has not.
We know Texas owns Michigan. Can't wait
never
for
lost.
Hey, Sark, try not to get out of that game. Please have them come here.
As of now, it's happening.
Huh?
As of now, it's happening. And Sark, you know, told us a few weeks ago that they're going to honor the return trips for Ohio State and Michigan. So,
good
you know, Texas now 3-0 all time against the Wolverines. And hopefully that will get to 4-0 with that 2027 non-conference.
Yeah, you can bail out of the Notre Dame game if you like to, now that their coach is staying and making more money.
Yeah, well, maybe Notre Dame will opt out of it because they're opting out of everything these days.
Sure they are.
Like. So, all right, there you go. There's your college football games. Anything in the NFL, Buck, week 18?
What are the Texans doing that they have to win?
Well, the Texans have clinched a playoff spot. Houston needs a win and a Jacksonville loss at home against Tennessee to win the AFC South. So not very likely there. The Jags are 13.5-point favorites against the 3-13 Titans.
Yeah, so I'll take a 100,000-unit play on Jacksonville.
All right. And then the Texans are 10.5-point favorites against the Indianapolis Colts. Both of those games are at the same time, so you'll...
Is that at home? Is that at home for the Texans?
It is. Yep.
I'll take 50,000 on the Texans. That'd be good. They need to be going in the right direction. They don't need to lose that game to that. The group just lost like 12 in a row.
Yeah, if the season ended today, the Texans would be the 5 seed in the AFC. If they win and the Jags win, they will stay the 5 seed in the AFC, meaning their first playoff game will be on the road against the winner of that Steelers-Ravens game, which is Sunday night, the final game of the 2025 regular season. Any pick on that game, Buck?
No. I got to know. There's enough right there to get it. They didn't have the people happy in the new year.
Last week of the NFL regular season, and that's all you're giving the people?
What am I going to give you, the Cowboys to go out? Who are they playing, the Giants?
Yeah, Giants in New York. I don't even want to watch that game. Probably won't watch that game.
Nah. You know what? I'll take 50,000 units on the Giants.
On the Giants?
Yeah.
The G-Men?
The G-Man, that's right.
There's 3.5-point home dogs, so.
Yeah, I'll take the G-Man. That hook will do it against the Cowboys.
They're playing at the G-Spot. I think that's where they call the Giants' home stadium. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be good for the Giants to go out a winner. It'll be good for the Cowboys because then they'll be all-in next year.
Oh, my God.
Plus, they want to lose because they need a good draft spot anyway. They don't want to keep trying to win. Or maybe it's not that they're not trying. They just can't win.
Well, I hope the Cowboys lose because that helps their draft pick a little bit. I think it can move up. I mean, the Cowboys need to lose, and they need some other teams right ahead of them to win.
Because they've got to get an offensive lineman from somewhere.
I think at best the Cowboys can move up to 11. They're currently at pick 14, but there's going to be some tiebreakers. I don't know exactly how it all works. And the Giants, look, I mean, the Giants right now have the second pick in the draft. The Giants should be trying to lose. And as a Cowboys fan, I want the Giants to win because that hurts them because they're going to get a worse pick. And that potentially helps the Cowboys get a better draft pick. So that's helping yourself and hurting a rival, getting two birds stoned at once, if you will.
Yes.
So I guess,
How did you like that young cornerback from Oregon, the freshman, the tall dude that made the picks?
Yeah, very impressive. I think you could have had an interception the way Baron Morton was flinging the rock around yesterday.
Hey, Joey McGuire, hire an offensive coordinator. Oh, you do have an offensive coordinator, don't you?
That was pretty ugly for Texas Tech. Well, I mean, the best season they've had in a long time. You know, they won their first ever Big 12 championship. Their first outright conference championship since the
50s. Yeah, stay in the Big 12. Try not to get out of there. Don't try anything else.
But, yeah, you know, there were people arguing for BYU to make the playoff. BYU lost. They got killed by that Texas Tech team twice.
Right.
BYU finished ranked ahead of Texas, by the way, in the last CFP rankings. Not that it mattered that much. Both teams were left out. But we saw what happened when Texas Tech had to play a real team from a real conference.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, yeah, if I'm Texas Tech, there are Tech fans who are like, man, we got to get to the SEC. We got to get to the Big Ten. We're too good for the Big 12. You guys should stay right there.
Absolutely.
You go to these real conferences, I don't think it's going to be going as well as
I did think
this year, the Big 12.
Yeah, there was nothing about that team that I saw. The defense was okay, but there was nothing that I saw about that team saying that they should be in the Big 10 or the SEC. They should stay right where they are.
They're going to spend – they're losing a lot, but they're going to spend a lot to have a really good roster next year. They're going to be favorites to win the Big 12. They'll be a preseason top 10 to 15 team in America, and they probably should. But, yeah, they had a nice reality check yesterday.
More did they ever.
Someone poured a bucket of cold water to wake them up.
Man, that was unbelievable.
They looked hungover.
That actually surprised me. I thought they were good enough, and especially with their defense. But, dude, they were just shattered. Their dreams got shattered in every aspect of the game.
They were non-competitive. I mean, there were a lot of people, not just Tech fans, but people who were thinking Texas Tech could make a run in this playoff. Yeah. Felt like they had a path being on what was supposed to be the easier side of the bracket. And instead, they did that.
Yeah, and a lot of people end up questioning how Alabama got in there at the end, too.
Yeah, and I'm not, like, to me, if you win a game in the playoff, you shouldn't be questioning a team getting in.
No, that win against Oklahoma, that was a big win.
They went on the road and beat a solid Oklahoma team. Not a great Oklahoma team, overrated Oklahoma team, but they went on the road and beat, like, TCU. When TCU got boat raced by Georgia in that championship, what was it, 65-7? Everyone's like, hey, they should have never been in. It's like, no, they beat Michigan. Like, they won a game in the playoff. So if you do that, I don't think you can make the case that, like, you should not have been in. So
the only ones that shouldn't have been in is those original games with James Madison, those Tulane. Those are the ones you got to quit putting in these deals. These Cinderellas aren't going anywhere. You're going to get exactly what you saw next year, the year after that, if you continue to put those type of teams against the Oregons or – or teams like that's what you're going to get.
Right. Yeah, those are the teams that need to be left out, and hopefully they will moving forward. Who knows what the playoff will look like in 2026, but this playoff has been pretty good.
Yes, it has.
And we've got some interesting matchups in the semifinals next weekend, and again, some new blood in the Final Four of college.
Well, I'll tell you what, Miami's starting to make me a believer, you know, that weak ACC, they got really good players.
They do. They really do. And again, you can make an argument for all four of these teams to win it all. Indiana should be the favorite. They are the favorite. I don't think I'm going to pick against. I'll pick against them. It's Indiana. I still can't.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
But I mean, Ole Miss to beat Georgia in that fashion, they look good. I mean, Trinidad Chambliss is playing as well as any player in America right now. Miami to beat Ohio State in the fashion that they did. You know, Oregon shutting out a solid Texas Tech team. Yeah, say what you will, overrated, not battle tested, whatever. But 23-0 in a playoff game, that's pretty impressive. And then obviously Indiana, they haven't lost this year. So should be fun. All four teams have a shot. And again, Miami's the only team that's really won a national championship out of all four of them. And 2001 was the last time they won one. So if you like parity, you got it this time around.
For sure.
No doubt. All right, let's bring on the boys from Chaos Theory for the first time in 2026. It's Wags. It's Double R. Gentlemen, Happy New Year. Good morning.
Yo, Happy New Year, guys. Did the committee get it right?
With
the product.
No. Well, no.
No, we're still the two lanes of the world.
We got parity. We got what we wanted.
I mean, I wanted Texas. What do you mean?
Sure, wait? Sure. the Burnt 40 wanted Texas in there, of course.
No, look, Miami, I think we were arguing Miami should have been in over Notre Dame. There was no debate. That never should have even been up for debate because they beat Notre Dame.
Right, right.
But no, I think our answer, did we get what we wanted? No, we saw Tulane and James Madison get asked last weekend.
And Oregon's got the easiest path to the national championship.
Oh, they got to play Indiana.
They just boat raced Texas Tech.
Which we found out that it's no good. They belong in the Big 12.
Oh, no, they're just going to go spend $50 million on their offensive line this year. That's all.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of looked like Indiana has the easiest path with how they whipped up on Alabama yesterday.
I saw a lot of the G5 people.
Too, yeah.
A lot of the G5 people yesterday saying, okay, well, maybe Dolly Madison does belong because they scored 34. And I'm like, you're playing against the training staff in the second half.
You're right.
It's... Yeah, look, that's how it goes. I mean, the SEC's, you know, taking it on the chin a little bit. And, you know, we always get these overreactions with this kind of stuff around bowl season. But I don't think it's an overreaction to not want to see two G5 teams in the
season. Yeah, I'm not overreacting to the Dolly Madisons or the Tulanes playing in those games. Those things they're going to happen one every 15 years where they – come through and they may even win that first round game. That's ridiculous. They need to do something about that part of it. You know, even if they win their conference and they have, you know, the North Texas, they don't need to do that anymore. That's just a waste of a weekend of watching football right there.
UNT would have scored six in this playoff or seven, would have scored seven more than Tech or A&M.
How about that?
UNT in.
6-7. Nicely done. I thought we were leaving that last year.
That's old news, man. That's 2025.
The Aggies, Texas Tech, and Oklahoma losing is a good thing.
How great was that?
They needed to be in the Cheez-It Bowl.
What a week and a half of hate watching for Texas, huh? Yeah. I mean, are you kidding me? Not only do they lose, Buck, it's OU blowing a 17-0 lead and A&M not scoring a touchdown and Texas Tech not scoring a point. All the trash those fan bases talk this year, even though Texas beat the crap out of two of them.
Yes.
I mean, it's glory. It doesn't get any better than that right there.
They belonged in the Cheez-It Bowl because we were feeling the cheesiest.
Felt cheesy. Yeah, you know, with a bunch of opt-outs, still beat a solid Michigan team, scored some points.
Y'all ready for the Heisman hype? Maybe now it's a little more legit. Now,
is it not rightfully deserved, though? Like, does Arch not get the hype deserved?
I think the hype is great.
Yeah. This time it's different, right? Last year it was unwarranted, but I don't think Texas will be preseason number one next year, but they'll be highly ranked. And, Arch, looking at those early 26 Heisman odds, he's – right back at the top of the list.
Can you imagine what his numbers would have been if all the receivers would have made catches?
And I mean, if they could just catch, like, do the things that receivers are supposed to do.
Right.
I mean, he'll have those 300-yard passing games next year. Sark will make sure of that because Sark will be – remember, he'll be more involved.
Yeah.
They won't have as many penalties. They won't have as many penalties. Team won't be as
dumb. He'll be more involved.
He doesn't have to babysit the defense anymore.
No, yeah. He'll be more involved in the penalty situation.
Hey, you know, how about we run the ball anymore? Nothing pulling him away from that offense.
Oh my God! Yeah, I didn't hear Sark say anything about the penalties in that press.
No, conference. No, he's going to take care of all of that stuff now that he can be more of the coach.
God, Texas. By the way, guys, I don't know if y'all heard the stat earlier, but I know the year's not done, but it's basically done. The Longhorns finished the year 135th out of 136 teams in penalties per game.
We got some room for improvement.
Pretty a minor miracle that they won 10 games with that stat.
I'm telling you, that's incredible.
Like, worst rushing offense since 1944, the year Buck graduated college, and second to last in the country in penalties. And again, not saying it's a successful season. Mad that it didn't make the playoff, but you go 10-3 despite those things happening. All right, maybe things will be okay.
All right. Coach. BK, remember pregame I was saying, hey, 10 win. We got 10 wins.
At the 10 wins.
Remember when that was a big deal? It was
it's still a big deal.
Yeah.
Still a big deal.
BK hates it.
No, I guess I'm not feeling cheesy enough, boys.
I guess not.
I'm sorry. I'll take a win. Believe me, a win's much better than a loss. I enjoyed myself watching the game. It was funny because I was in Columbus, Ohio, y'all know, and I was watching the game, most of the game, in the hotel bar. And the bride of the wedding was a Michigan fan, went to Michigan. So there was a lot of Michigan people there and obviously a lot of Texas people there as well. And there were like people jumping up and down, like yelling at the TV for this. I'm like, you guys know
it doesn't matter. It's a spring game.
Right. I'm like, look, I wanted Texas to win. I'm glad they won, but that was not a game I was yelling at the TV for. They're jumping up and down. I'm like, what in the shit is happening here? Do they know?
Jumping down because they're so cold because it's Columbus.
I guess we were inside.
I think the good thing about that game was, I mean, at least it appeared that both teams wanted to play.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was a fiery little football game.
It was more competitive than two of the games we got yesterday.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Like, both teams clearly wanted to be there. Both teams were trying to win. And Arch Manning just, I guess he wanted it more. Isn't that what I'm supposed to say?
He did want it more.
It means more in the SEC. When you're in the SEC, it means more. So you want it more.
That's how it works. Yeah, he was awesome the other day.
He was.
And you guys are awesome. Any good New Year stories? Are y'all saving them for the show, or what's cooking?
Not really crazy New Year stories or anything like that happened over New Year's Eve. Tom's coming over today. We're going to do a polar plunge around 9:30 here of the the Winter Classic tonight.
I like that. Yeah, in Florida, that's going to feel very wintry.
It's going to feel wintry here in a 54 degree temperature. So. Well, that's what the pool is. The pool.
Oh, so for me to go down to Barton Springs and jump butt naked in there is no big deal.
Barton Springs is warmer, I think, right now than my pool.
Go to Wags's place, Buck. If you want a skinny div, go up to Wags's spot.
Come on in. Go there. Ronnie wants to come on over and do it.
No, I got a 10:15 Zoom that I couldn't change that I text y'all about. I can't
screw that. Take the Zoom in the pool.
I don't want to see Tom. I don't want to see Tom naked, so I'll pass on that.
I want you to.
I don't want to start 2026 out with that vision.
Buck, I think since the Spurs are probably going to win the NBA title this year or next year, you might have to go dive in the Riverwalk again.
They're not winning any title.
I mean, they made it to the finals a couple weeks ago.
Oh, of the cup?
Yeah.
Got the cup.
They got their revenge against the Knicks a couple days ago.
Well, the Knicks, the Knicks already have a championship trophy already for this.
Nobody can beat OKC, but San Antonio. Oh,
that's true.
You got to jump in the Riverwalk, Buck, if the Spurs win it this year.
I'll go down there and jump in there. There ain't. I know they're not winning. That's fine. Uh-oh. I'll take that. I'll take that plunge down there. I'll take Mark that trip. Tape. It's been a while.
Mark the tape.
Yeah.
They haven't cleaned it. They haven't cleaned it since you did it before either.
It was, well, they hadn't cleaned it in 500 years before that either.
Yeah, so that
they haven't done that. They haven't cleaned it since the Alamo.
That deuce you dropped is still at the bottom, Buck.
Yeah, well, when I hit that, it didn't take much to hit the bottom. When I jumped, and as soon as I hit the water, about another foot from there was the bottom. It wasn't. Should have thought I could have broke my legs jumping into that place.
I think I'm looking at the text comments right now. I think I missed this part of the conversation, but David says Texas is no way a semi-caliber team. I strongly disagree with that based off of what we saw this past weekend, right?
You mean playoffs?
Is Alabama a semi-play team? Are they a caliber team? No.
I think Texas was right where they needed to be in that bowl game. I didn't think they were going to go over there.
Hindsight's 20/20, but after everything's played out, Texas absolutely could have played with these boys in the playoff, 100%.
Yeah,
so I think Texas deserved to be there with three losses. No, but Texas could have played.
I don't think Texas was a championship team. You know, watching the first round, I thought Texas could have beaten every team that played in round one. But I can't sit here. I know Georgia and Ohio State lost, but I can't sit here and say Texas could have beaten those teams because they didn't.
They didn't.
Right.
Georgia. And I don't know if they could have beat Ole Miss or Miami since
Oregon.
Those two teams. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, could Texas have beaten Alabama? Yeah. Could Texas have beaten some of those teams that played yesterday? I think so. But
yeah, they could have beat Tech. They could have beat
Tech. I think they could have beat Tech, too. I think Texas could have beat Tech.
I think they would have had a problem with Oregon. They would have had problems with that Oregon defense.
Yeah.
You know, that Oregon defense, they showed that was the team that had the defense was Oregon in that game. Could they beat Indiana? No. Well, I don't know if anyone wants to believe. No, don't go ahead, BK. You know it. You're going to have to end up rooting for them when they're playing.
They are the best. They are the most solid, complete team that I've seen so far right now.
It's the Mendoza brothers, man. It's those Mendoza brothers.
It's the Mendozas, man.
The Mendozas in Indiana.
That offensive line, they got an offense. You're talking about a group that's together. That offensive line with those two running backs, look out.
It's a good team. Mm-hmm. Good team. All right, guys.
You're going to have to give it to them, BK. You'll see them in the finals.
Yes, I will see the Oregon Ducks beating the Indiana Hoosiers.
Oh, boy. Have a great day, boys.
Later, boys. Happy New Year, guys. Thank you all.
Happy New Year.